Hello, and welcome to Catholic Bookmarks. I'm Frank Maron. On what will be a bit of a special program this week. Special because of our guests, and also because this is the last program in the series. Now, I'll have more on that later in the show, with some contact information you might be interested in if you're a regular listener to the program. But first, let me tell you about our two guests today. We're going to be joined once again by Monsignor Peter Vaghi, a priest in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., who has a new book coming up in 2 months that we all could use in our homes. It's titled, The Sacraments We Celebrate, A Catholic Guide to the Seven Mysteries of Faith. It's published by Ave Maria Press. Now, this is a follow-up to his earlier book, The Faith We Profess, in which he focused on the meaning of the words in the Creed. At a time when mass attendance is dropping, confessional lines small, and church weddings declining, Monsignor Vaghi's book is a reminder to all of us about the importance of the sacraments, what they mean, and the grace they bestow. He'll be with us in a moment. In our second segment, our attention will turn to Mary, who has been so much in our minds these past few weeks. Sherry Lamonti will join us to talk about a book she put together based on stories people have shared with her about the impact Mary has had in their lives, and they shared it on Sherry's radio program, Mary's Touch, which is the title of her book. Monsignor Peter Vaghi and Sherry Lamonti are two final guests on Catholic Bookmarks. As Catholics, we should be able to name the seven sacraments of our church without hesitation. After all, they help form the structure of our faith and what we believe. Now, if asked, many Catholics can give a brief definition of each sacrament, but I wonder how many can go into depth on each one, providing its scriptural foundation or its symbolism. Well, in this segment of the program, we're going to talk with an author who provides us with a reminder, a refresher course, if you will, of what the sacraments are, what they mean, what they provide. Joining me now is Monsignor Peter Vaghi, a priest of the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., and author of The Sacraments We Celebrate. It's published by Ave Maria Press. Monsignor, nice to have you back with us.
Thank you so much.
I made mention back with us because this is the second book you've written in the last 2 years. The first was titled The Faith We Profess, which was based on the Apostles' Creed. Now, these books are part of a series that you're doing, correct?
Well, this is the second one, and it reflects lectures I've given, which are reflections on the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults, the writings of the popes, and other theologians.
You heard me mention in the introduction that Catholics know the sacraments, but most probably can't go into a great deal of detail if they're asked to give a few paragraphs on each one. Would you agree with that?
Well, I'm not sure most Catholics. I know when I first started as a priest 25 years ago, I had my first marriage preparation, and before getting into marriage, I asked the couple, what is a sacrament? And the person said, it's a gift of God. And I said, well, so is a nice day. Then I said, well, how many sacraments? Well, maybe two or three. Well, early on in my priesthood, I began to realize that the concept of sacrament and the number seven were something that really needed to be explained more profoundly. These were two young people, wonderful young people, who had gone to good Catholic schools, and somehow it had been forgotten. So that's part of the purpose of this book. It comes from my priestly heart, and happily it's being published in this year for priests, my 25th year as a priest, because parish priests, and that's what I am, fundamentally celebrate the sacraments. That's our trade. That's what we do. And so that's one of the reasons why this book has meant a lot to me in terms of putting it together.
Now, you think that today we're better off than the two people you described, correct, as far as understanding the sacraments and grasping them?
Well, hopefully this book will help, and other efforts at the church, certainly. There's been a lot of teaching in 25 years from the Pope and from our bishops and from our teachers, so hopefully we'll have a much better handle of the absolute beauty of these sacramental signs. Every sacrament puts us in touch with the living and risen Jesus. It's an encounter which changes us and transforms us and brings us closer to the Lord. In baptism, we, for example, are brought into His very life. In the Eucharist, we're strengthened and we're nourished. In the Eucharist and Confirmation, we're strengthened, we're healed. In the sacrament of penance and the anointing of the sick, in the sacrament of holy orders, those ordained become in persona Christi, and they can configure to Christ. In marriage, I've said in my book, it takes three to be married. Jesus becomes a part of that sacramental encounter. So these are encounters with the Lord, and they're encounters that, change us, transform us, and bring us closer together to Him.
From your two answers, people can gather that you've got a tremendous interest in religious education. Now, you have an active program at your parish, the Church of the Little Flower in Bethesda, but you are also active with a group called the John Carroll Society. What is that?
The John Carroll Society is a group founded by Cardinal O'Boyle in 1952 for professional and business men and women. And we exist in service of the Archbishop, but what we gather together for talks, for retreats, for pilgrimages. We celebrate the Red Mass and put that on every year for the lawyers and judges and justices, the Rose Mass for doctors, healthcare providers. It's a way to be of service to our bishop, but also to help deepen the faith of professional businessmen and women.
Now, part of the book, what you deal with is you look at misconceptions about the sacraments. What are the biggest ones that are out there? Maybe if you can pick two or three of the sacraments and talk about misconceptions.
Well, I think one would be the sacrament of sick, and sometimes we think it's just the sacrament when one is close to death. But this sacrament can be administered when one is seriously sick, a frail elderly person, a person facing a serious operation. Last evening, for example, one of our sisters in the parish, I anointed her. She's, as we speak, undergoing an operation. It was a serious operation. And in the prayers of the Sacrament of the Sick, which is a sacrament that is a beautiful sacrament, needs to be recouped, we pray for the nurses and the skills of surgeons. So that would be one sacrament. I think the sacrament of reconciliation or penance is another one that really is a sacrament that has to be seen as an integral part with our walk with Jesus. It gives us the assurance that when we open our hearts to the Lord, to Jesus, who is like a doctor, we are healed. And there's a certain assurance there. And so often, it's recouping also the sense of sin in our life, isn't it? And this sacrament is designed, and all of Jesus' healing ministry, when you look in Scriptures, you realize that Jesus was like a magnet for sinners. And He healed, and He touched. I mean, that great story from Mark with the woman with the hemorrhage who touched the cloak of Jesus, and the Scripture tells us power came from Him, and she was healed. That power coming from the mystical body of the Lord is what the sacraments. That's what the sacraments are all about, a transforming power, and that's felt very, very specifically in the sacrament of the reconciliation.
Well, you mentioned how the seven sacraments are linked to one another, but when I was growing up, I was taught penance is linked tremendously to the Eucharist. And you and I both know, no matter what parish you go into on Sunday, almost everybody steps forward for the Eucharist. But at penance services on Saturday before that, the lines aren't as long.
We need to do an awful lot. You're so right, Frank. And we need to do an awful lot more catechesis. So I mentioned in my book, you know, the need to promote this. And once one experiences this individually, and you share it with someone else, that's how it begins to be recouped. So we have a lot of work to do. It's not just the work of those of us who are priests, but all the faithful. We have to work together to bring people to the Lord, particularly in that sacrament. Even they said the Eucharist, which is another one. Someone once said, "Well, is there any surprise why the numbers have dropped off? How often do we gather for Sunday meal as a family with all the competing interests that we have in sports, etc., on Sunday?" Well, the Eucharist is when the family of the parish gets together. So, again, it's trying to communicate these wonderful signs, these efficacious signs, these potential for encounters with Christ in a new way to our people to bring them closer to the church and closer to the Lord.
You know, I just mentioned the Eucharist and penance. I want to talk about confirmation also, because confirmation is a sacrament that's really supposed to make us soldiers of Christ. And in a way, it's sad because so many young people, after they get confirmation, that's when they start their drift, is it not?
That's where we need, that's why youth groups in high school are so, so very important, because youth groups are a way of helping those who have received the sacrament often toward the end of their grade school year, high school. It's the way they're able to know the faith and defend the faith and live the faith. So confirmation completes baptism. One of the things we've seen, there are a lot of young people have kind of fallen through the cracks with that sacrament. It's It's another one we need to reach out and make sure that, as we know, the three sacraments of initiation are baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. And that's a sacrament that we need to make sure our people realize is an essential part of their initiation into the Catholic Church.
Well, I think people listening to this interview with you, Monsignor Vaghi, got a feel for what the book is about. This can help anybody, can help any family, but it also can help RCIA candidates, can it not?
We use this book and my previous book on the faith we profess in our RCIA. I use that every Saturday morning with the group that I'm walking with. It's in faith formation, and geez, I have to thank Ave Maria Press at Notre Dame for offering to publish these books, because I'm hoping that certainly the first one did very well, and I'm hoping the second one will also, because it really has helped in RCIA, and it's questions in the back of the book and little prayers in the back of each chapter, and it helps the discussion.
We have been talking to Monsignor Peter Vaghi. The title of the book, The Sacraments We Celebrate, A Catholic Guide to the Seven Mysteries of Faith. As he just mentioned, it's published by Ave Maria Press. You can get it online at avemariapress.com. Monsignor, thank you very much for this. Good luck.
Frank, thank you so very much, and thank all of you who listened today.
Now, I don't have a copy of Monsignor's book to give to a listener at this time because the book isn't out yet. It'll be out in March. However, when I get the copy, I will give it to a listener selected from emails that I invite you to send into the program. The email address, catholicbookmarks@gmail.com. In the subject line, type the word sacraments. I'll randomly select a winner from the entries, and when I get the book, it'll be on its way to the winner. Now, I have 5 books to give away to winners from these past few weeks, and I'll give them away right after this break. You are listening to Catholic Bookmarks.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
And welcome back to the program. I'm Frank Murrock. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this is our last program, at least for now. I'll have some information at the end of the show if you want to stay in touch. Now, in the last few weeks, I've invited you to enter to try to win copies of the books that have been featured on the show. I have 5 book winners to announce today. First of all, congratulations to Cynthia Manasco of Austin, Texas, who listens to us on the Catholic station in that city. She writes she enjoys the interviews. She'll be receiving Chosen by Donna Steichen. Congratulations also to Janet Adcock of Stockbridge, Georgia, who listens to us via podcast. She'll be receiving Mary in Her Own Words by Father Gary Castor. Debbie Dyer of Port Florida, who listens on iPod at work and also notes her local station is Spirit 90.5 in Tampa, St. Pete. She'll be receiving A Taste of Heaven by Madeline Sherb. Judy Lombardo of Evergreen Park, Illinois, had her name drawn for The Sultan and the Saint. She writes, thank you for this program in St. Francis. I listen on Relevant Radio in Chicago. And last but not least, congratulations to Madeline Vogel of East Point, Georgia, who entered and won A Postcard from the Volcano by Lucy Beckett. She wrote, dear Frank, thank you for the wonderful program. I've only been listening a few weeks. Your reviews have provided me with wonderful reading material and great gift ideas for my family and my RCIA candidate. She says, I now set my alarm for Sunday morning to listen to your program. Well, Madeline, thank you for those lovely words, and apparently the program airs in the morning in your community. Now, next Sunday, you can probably sleep in, since you won't have a reason to get up so early. Or, if you'd like, I can give you a wake-up call. I want to thank all of you who have written over the course of the program. Your thank yous have meant a lot, and it was nice to hear how an author may have touched some of you at a very critical time in your life. That made it all worthwhile. All right, I have one more guest to introduce to you, and we'll do that in just a moment. As I mentioned earlier in the program, this is our last radio program for a while. The show is going to be on a few months' hiatus. In the course of the last 5 years, one of our most featured topics has been Mary, our Blessed Mother. So it's almost fitting that the last featured book of this year and of this series of programs is titled Mary's Touch. It's a compilation of stories of the role Mary has played and continues to play in the lives of men and women, oftentimes at significant moments in their lives. The stories come from accounts related from a radio program by that name, Mary's Touch. And I'm pleased to welcome into the program at this time Sherry Lamonte, co-host of the program and editor of the book, Stories from Mary's Touch. Sherry, nice to have you with us.
Frank, thank you for having me on this, memorable session with you. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. And it's nice to have you on also, not only because this is the last program of the year, but it's also the weekend of the Holy Family, and we're talking about Mary in this. So let me begin by saying, what a truly lovely book this is. It's a great compilation, Sherry.
Well, thank you. Actually, all the stories are from the stories that were on our first year of the radio show, Mary's Touch. So we do one show a week with two stories. So there's over 100 beautiful stories of people who have prayed to Mary and through intercessory prayer have had their prayers answered, and sometimes not always in the way they expected.
And that's what I was going to make mention about. This is about people just like you and me and their relationship with the Holy Mother, and sometimes it's a relationship that is just beginning, is it not?
Oh, definitely, and that's the whole point, is that Mary's Touch, we try to remind everyone that Mother Mary, her grace and her unconditional love is right here in the world today, just as it was when she was alive on this earth over 2,000 years ago.
Now, before we get into a couple of the stories that you can point to, you made mention, and I made mention, that the book is a compilation from the radio program. You said the first year of Mary's Touch. And I should make note right now, let me make this clear, that the back of the book, I was very pleasantly surprised when I looked at the back of the book, because you've got there a symbol of the angel Gabriel, the Gabriel Awards, and you say, Mary's Touch Radio Program winner, Religious National Release Gabriel Awards. I'm the president of the organization that gives that. So I've never met you before, but I was involved in the judging that got you the Gabriel Award for this program last year.
Well, and actually the story, there were four interviews that we did with a beautiful woman whose name was Sherry Davis. And she, in fact, had small cell lung cancer and let us every 2 months interview her. And she taught me the beautiful value, graces, and gift of suffering, as she did all of our listeners. We still have people today, and she passed away over, it'll be 2 years this coming February. We still have people who email us wanting that show. That's how beautiful it was.
It was a memorable show, and I don't know how many times the judges listened to that segment, because not only were we judging, but some of them, when you listen to the program, we were looking for quality and other things like that. And then after we listened to it, one of the judges said, can we listen to that again just for it? And we did.
How perfect. Yes, yes. Well, first of all, if you're going to do something for Mother Mary, I do my very best. So the quality is there. But what's so important are these beautiful stories, sacred stories. They're stories given by a witness, and we know a witness is the best teacher. So here are these stories of Mother Mary, and these people have given themselves to the Blessed Mother. And as we all know, once you're hers, you'll discover that, you know, your prayers, your work, your entire life is more Christ-centered, because Mary takes us to her son Jesus.
Now, how did you come by these people?
You know, I have never, Frank, I have never, like, advertised or anything like that. I'll interview people, and they'll tell me their story, and I usually say, do you know anyone else that has a story? And either they do or they don't, or I myself am a speaker at different events, and I will ask people, I say, if you have a story, please let us know. And even on the radio show, we say, if you have a story, email us. And I get some of the most beautiful stories of Mary's love.
And let's just touch on this, because I've got you for about 5 or 6 more minutes. Let's just touch on a few here. Can you cite one or two? I mean, there's so many in here, I'm not going to hit you cold with them. I'm going to let you pick them.
Oh, well, you know, I have a hard time, because sometimes people say, now, what's your favorite story? And I thought, oh, I don't have a favorite, because some are so simple. I was asking a young girl once if she had a Mary story, and she said, no, I don't. But the only thing that we know about is when my mother and I and my grandmother say our rosary every night, we smell roses. And I went, okay, that's a Mary story. because sometimes people say when the Blessed Mother is there with you, you can smell roses. So they're very beautiful, simple stories to ones that, I mean, we've actually had two or three stories of healing. And one was from a friend who took her best girlfriend to Knock, Ireland. And she said the friend always wanted to go there, and she was dying with colon cancer and could not even bend over by the time they got there, you know, like to tie her shoes or she needed help dressing herself. But to make this long story short, they get to Knock and they go and pray. And the friend said, I'm praying for my friend, and I'm praying for an instant healing. And my friend who has the disease, and the doctor says, you know, go home and get your affairs in order, is praying for the courage to end her life in Christ. And they go home to the hotel that night, and she said she took off her own shoes, but she really didn't even notice it. And the next day she got up and dressed herself and put her shoes on, and her friend said, have you noticed that you're dressing yourself and that you're putting your own shoes on? And Diana said, it was, you know, we said, well, let's just take it day by day. And when she got home, she went to see her doctor, and she said, you know, I'm cured. And, of course, the doctor said, well, but you will be taking this medicine, and you will be doing this and that. And she said, some of it I did, and some of it I didn't. But she said, that was 22 years ago.
Mm. Incredible.
It is. Well, you know, we shouldn't be surprised when we hear these stories, because that's how Mary works.
Absolutely. I am going to hit you cold, but this is the first story you have in the book, and I'm hoping that you'll be able to share it with us. It's Where We Are Where We Belong, and it's about a woman who at the time was not even Catholic.
Oh, I know exactly which one you're talking about, because she will always be one of my favorite stories. She was the wife of a Protestant minister, and she said, you know, along the way, Mother Mary had called her, and she knew it. She said, so she would be sneaking, she said, everybody would either be in bed or the kids would be off at school and my husband at work, and I wanted to find out more about Mary, the Catholics, Mary and the Rosary. And she said, and that when they received communion, they received the body and blood of Christ. And this is, her story is so remarkable of how they go from being, now we all know ministers in our community, Protestant ministers and their wives and their kids, their families. And I'll just give everybody a tease here. It ends up that they become Catholic, their whole family. And he is now working for the Catholic diocese as she is, and it's just this beautiful, amazing story of where Mary led them. And I'll never forget it, because one of my questions was, you know, did you stay friendly with your former parishioners? Those are the kind of things that I think, how do people do this? I mean, you need grace to make those kind of changes, I would think.
Absolutely. And you've got the stories in here of people who, like you and me, would be called common people. But you've also got something in here from a friend of mine, somebody I really admire greatly, and that is Cardinal John Foley of the Vatican.
Well, and you know, he was kind enough to tell me his Mary story, because at one time, he said, when he was in seminary, he said, sometimes I had my doubts, and it was only through his love of Mary, saying the rosary, knowing that he should go forward, and look at what his devotion has done and the gifts he's had to share with all of us. So, yes, just this last week I interviewed Captain Al Fuentes, who was a fireman who was buried alive on 9/11. And, you know, you don't hear too many of these stories. And so it's ordinary people with extraordinary stories. And his was, as, you know, the building came down on him, he said, it sounded like a freight train was coming, and I put my hands over my head, and I had never felt so alone. Mm. And he said, with that, I fell on my knees, and I started saying the Hail Mary. And he said, I said the Hail Mary for the next 2 hours.
Wow.
Until my friends found me. You know, and I'm so blessed I get to hear these stories.
Absolutely. Well, people can read the stories as we bring this to a close. Stories from Mary's Touch is what we've been talking about. Real life accounts from the Mary's Touch radio program by Sherry Lamonti. It's published by Divine Impressions. You can find it at divineimpressions.com. You mentioned your website. Where can folks find you?
It's www.marystouch.org, O-R-G. And if they have a story, you know, please let us know. Or if they need to order a book or books, we also have the Healing Touch of Mary in Spanish. We would be more than glad to talk to all of our listeners and our friends, not only here in the States but abroad.
Sherry, thank you very much for this. Good luck on the book, and I look forward to meeting you in person.
Frank, many blessings. God bless you.
Thank you, Sherry. And God has blessed me in a very special way these past 5 years, as I've had the pleasure of meeting by phone so many faithful people who have been guests on this program, including cardinals, bishops, priests, sisters, and people like Sherry Lamonti. What these authors have shared with me and with you is more spirituality and religious information than we would have received if we were seeking a master's degree or even a PhD. Each week we learned more about our faith, our Catholic teaching, how to pray better, and how to be better Christians. Now, there are interviews that will stay with me for the rest of my life, and portions of interviews that I share with people over and over again. I've introduced you to some 200 authors over the last 5 years, and I thank each of them for giving us the time, and most importantly, sharing their Catholic faith with us. And that is why I am truly blessed. Also, I want to thank you for sharing part of your weekend with me. That's the best gift you can give a person, is your gift of time. Now, this is the last program, possibly for now. However, there is going to be a Catholic Bookmarks website, which is currently under construction. It'll provide you with information on books and authors and keep you updated on future activities and possibilities of Catholic Bookmarks. The web address is catholicbookmarks.com. Again, it's under construction, but you may want to make a note or add it to your favorite bookmarks so you won't forget it. As always, if you want to contact me, please do so by emailing me at catholicbookmarks@gmail.com. I'll reply. As we bring 2009 to an end and close out the program, I extend best wishes to you for a joyous new year. On behalf of Mark Hite, our technical director, I'm Frank Maroc. God bless, and may the words you hear soothe your soul.